Today's Maimer was delivered by the Rebbe on Shabbos Parshas Kisetze. Just like this year, the 14th day of Elul. The year is 1985, Tafshin Memhe. The beginning of this week's Torah portion speaks about war. Specifically, the words that the Torah uses, Kisetze la melchomo alei vecho. When you go out to battle against your enemy, unesane Hashem alekecho biyadecho, and the Lord God delivers into your hands, the enemy that is, Vishavisa Shivye, and you capture his captives. So we're going to analyze this verse now. And the first interesting thing which we find in the Maimarim of the Rabbeim, I mean, this is sourced to the Rebbe that's a Machzedek and Eretz Torah, but it's found in the Maimarim of the other Rabbeim. The Diuk Haloshim, the precise phraseology which the Torah uses, when you go out to battle, you don't go out to battle in the Torah with your enemy. You go out to battle in the Torah's terms, al oivecha. Al oivecha means on your enemy, over your enemy. You're going out over your enemy. But you didn't win yet. You're going out, you're engaging with your enemy. You're not engaging over your enemy. The lecha'ira, it would seem, masim, it would seem more appropriate, the language im, with an ayin. Im oivecha means with your enemy. Or sometimes in Hebrew, we can add a word, we can add a letter at the beginning of a word and it modifies the words. We could say, kiseis l'machama be'oivecha, which would mean in your enemy. But the Torah didn't say im oivecha, it didn't say be'oivecha, instead it said al oivecha. We want to know why. Some other interesting diyukim, interesting things which also kind of catch our attention when we look at this verse. There's a seeming redundancy when we speak about the capture, what you capture, the object of what you capture. You could just say, Vishovisa, you capture. That could be anything from captives, it could be real estate, it could be items, it could be all kinds of things. But it says here, Vishovisa Shivyoi, you capture his captive. And capturing his captive is a very unusual expression. Especially because, at least according to some of the commentaries, the mashmos ha'inyan, the intimation here is, shemash lekech min ha'oyev, that which you take from the enemy, meaning vishavisa, ha'ya inyan shal shviya lifnize, it was already a captive. So like the Targum Yonason ben Aziel puts it, the enemy captured your captives, or made you captive. So they have captives now. They have hostages. They have people they're holding. And you capture the captives. But why would you have to say that? Why would you have to say that the enemy already took captives and you recapture the captives? Ki seitzel ha'machama alevecha does not, presumably, pre-assume that there's already been some battle. There's already been some skirmish. There's already been people taken. It's already captives and you're taking back your captives. Ki seitzel ha'machama speaks broadly. You go out to war against your enemy, you'll have booty. You'll have spoils. You'll take captives. We don't have to say shavisa shivyoi. The redundancy is unnecessary. And even if we're to say it doesn't mean that they were captives initially, but it's, you know, you took your captives. You don't have to say you took your captives. You took captive. They'll take, your captives will be taken captive. So those are the questions. And the phraseology seems unusual. It seems like almost that this was a shviya b'yad ha'ayiv, this was there before. The Rebbe says, that's not the typical way in war. Generally speaking, that which you capture, the notion of ishavisoi, is you take what belonged to the captive. Only when Israel went to war in 1967 did it actually take back the territory that always belonged to it. But that's not derech hamelchamis, and go figure. And then of all the wars in the world, the only war that the world refuses to accept the results of, the war which was provoked, the war which was actually brought on us by our enemies, we capture what was always ours, and that's the only war that the world refuses to accept the final results of. Okay, but this is not neither here nor there at this point, right now. In other words, so it's lav dafke. That's not the typical way in war. The typical way in war is not to take what was taken captive. You're not simply recapturing. You would say that you go to war, you take captive. You're expanding, you're achieving something new, you're not merely rolling back the lack of progress of the past. The Lama Dayak, why did the Pasuk then have to specifically make a point of speaking of Bishavisa Shivye, which indicates that this war is kind of contingent. It's a war that's describing unique contingencies, special contingencies, a war which is a continuation, a war which is not the beginning of an event, but an old saga in which there's already, they took from us, we're taking back what already belonged to us. One more thing we're going to try to understand, and that is that the Hemshecha Psukim, which we didn't mention yet, the Psukim speak over there specifically about a captive, a maiden of beautiful form, and the Torah speaks about this idea that her head is shaved and her nails grow long, not in a nice way necessarily, in fact necessarily not. Ubachsa Saviya Vesima, she weeps for her father and mother, Yerech Yamim, for a month. And there's this whole business, and if you still want her as your wife, then you can take her as your wife. Rape is prohibited. The notion of in every war that there was massive abuse of women was never allowed in the Torah perspective. Yes, it's true, you have young men with a lot of testosterone and weapons and killing people, and it's an awful, noxious combination, and it brings out the worst in people. However, that doesn't mean they can run rampant and do as they please. That's never permitted, according to the Torah. The Torah says, if we will not allow some kind of legislated situation, it'll be out of control. So really, this isn't good altogether. Halavai, if only this would never be the case. But we know that in an army with thousands of soldiers, at some point, there will be some people who, if not allowed to do this in a legal way, will do it in an illegal way. So we use this, okay, fine. Here's the legal way to do it. And even then, it's a marriage you hope to prevent, and we prefer for her to go free and not to have to deal with this. Okay, so the Nekuda Sabir Bazer, the thing is like this. We have to have an explanation for this. We have to understand it on a deeper level, not only within the frame of its actual meaning the Pshut Shel Mikra. And the thing is that Kiseitzela Mochama Aleivecha, in general, the way we view these verses that speak about war, Parsha opens with, you know, it's war. It's war, and we're going out to battle, and there's going to be a conflict, and there's going to be violence, and there's going to be a captivity. The Torah, of course, is speaking about a specific situation of war, conflict, and battle. However, in a broader sense, there has to be something else being alluded to, something else being conveyed. And the reason is that the Torah is seen, not sometimes, but all the time. The Torah is seen as hayra'ah, as instruction, l'kol echad v'echad mi'yisrael. The Torah necessarily is a document of instruction for every one of us. And it's a document for every instruction for every one of us, not at a particular time, but rather u'b'chol hazmanim. I could be a 20th century millennial, and I open up the Torah, and I start to read, and the Torah's going to speak to me. The Torah has to have a message for me. The Torah has to inspire me. The Torah has to give me direction. That's it has to be that way, because that's what the Torah was designed for. Sha'ari kol ha-Torah, the entirety of the Torah, which Torah is in yonah, is hoira'ah. The Torah means, by its definition, and a lot's found in a name. The name of Torah is not just some fancy scripture name. It means, simply stated, hoira'ah, instruction. If you live in Israel and you open a box of Monopoly, it will say hoira'ot shimush. Here's your instructions. Here's how you play the game. The Torah is hoira'ah. It's instructions. Here's how you deal with life. Here's the instructions. And this Torah, which is Hora, which is instructions for life, is also said to be Morasha Kehilat Yaakov. It's said to be the internal inheritance of every single Jew. In other words, it's everybody's inheritance. It's not the inheritance of Torah scholars. It's not the inheritance of people who are very frum or Haredi. It's the inheritance of every single Jew equally. And everybody knows that to inherit, you have to have neither intelligence necessarily or a great accomplishment. What do you need to be? Related, that's all. Or you'd be designated as the heir. It's nothing to do with you. It is absolutely nothing to do with whatever your accomplishments or achievements were. It got legislated your way, that's it. That's the way it goes. So Hashem says, I legislate the Torah to be the inheritance of the Jewish people. He makes it our inheritance. Which one? You can designate a baby that's an hour old. You can say, that baby, that inherits everything. The baby won't be able to touch anything. He's a baby, he's an hour old. There may be laws that protect both the residuals and the baby until he's old enough to claim what's his. But technically, if somebody were to take from those residuals, who's he stealing from? The baby. So the Torah belongs to every one of us, even to children. Because the Torah is also called the Torah of life. So Torah's instructions, and it belongs to every one of us. And it's Torah of life. And in moving, it's understood that everything discussed here, including this idea of Teitzila Mochama, going out to war, has to be a Hira B'chayim. Yes, it speaks to us in literal terminology also. Yes, it has a literal iteration. Yes, there is a Torah way in war. War is not holy. War is hell. It's horrible. It's terrible. War sometimes is necessary and required. But the Torah has to be speaking about something other than simply war. Can't be that way. Ubir ha'inyan, the explanation of this whole discussion, this whole narrative, the way it's found in the writings of Chassidus, is b'nigeil kol echad v'echad v'Yisrael, as it applies to each and every member of Am Yisrael. Yinitechim l'cham mezubah v'edus ha'adam, the content of the character of these verses, the meaning being conveyed to us here, insofar as Avedis Hashem is concerned, is Masha Adam Tzarech Lichbesh Esinyani Eilam. We are out on a path of war, and our war path is against materiality, it's against selfishness, it's against greed, it's against self-aggrandizement, it's against abuse of creation, but instead it's about compassion, and it's about holiness, and it's about sensitivity, and it's about the utilization of creation for a sacred and a holy and a godly purpose. And it's a war, it's a battle. It won't happen by itself. If you leave it to itself, it will probably go south. It will go wrong. The world doesn't fix itself, it doesn't put itself together. So therefore, because that's the case, because our job is la'asoysam, to make of the world a keli, a vessel, a mechanism, an envelope that expresses the presence of the Creator rather than conceals it, so therefore we're at war. And it's a struggle, and it's not going to be easy. But the Torah opens this narrative by telling you, my dear Yidula, you're at war with the world. It's a struggle, it's a challenge, it's a conflict, it doesn't come easy. But here's the first thing you must know. Ki seitze, when you go out, you must know that you are al oivecha. The first thing you know is you have the home advantage. You are not displaced, you are not going to be overwhelmed. You are going out with the certitude that when a person goes out, when a person goes out to conquer and to make this world a place that reflects God's presence, one must be mindful, one must know with absolute certainty that he or she is in a matzav of al oivecha. You can do this. You can do this. How do I know you can do this? How do you know you can do this? Because the Torah said you can. Because God said you can. God said you can be victorious. God said you can be successful. So if God said I can be successful, it's not a question if I can be successful. The only question will be if I will be successful. And in whose hands is that vested if I will or won't be successful at life? In our hands. Not in God's hands. In our hands. Hashem says, Hakobi the Shemayim, everything's in the hands of heaven, with one exception. Yir Shemayim. Do you have a sense of reverence and awe? And you will say, but I tried so hard, I didn't succeed. And I would say to you, you know what our sages said? How do you know? How do you know? How do you know what success is? The battle was to make this world a godly place. Do you know if you're successful or not? You're plant seeds, you'll see what grows. You may never see what grows. The reality is, if you do your part, you have to know you're alei vecha. And the reason is, the reason you're lemaila me'evecha, deheyes shalichasi l'mechamazu, because you're going out to engage in this conflict. You're going out by the Torah's instructions. Who says? Who says you're going by the Torah's instructions? It says in the Parsha, Ki zeitze, when you'll go. So if the Torah is narrating, illustrating the story of your life, when you'll go, what is the Torah telling you? The Torah is telling you when you'll go. The Torah is illustrating, the Torah is narrating this. In other words, you go by koyach ha-Torah. You go by virtue of the power of Torah. And therefore, because you go by the power of Torah, ein eila shnei tzadim shavim halechem im zeh al zeh. These are not two equal parties who engage. These are not, it's not a level playing field. Rather, hu nimtza melechatchila lemaila min ha'ayiv. You must know that you are higher. You're on higher ground, you tower above him. And even though Rashi tells us that the melchama being discussed here is melchemes rashus, it's what's called an elective battle, not a mandated battle. So the Rebbe says, in that case, it's not This is not an option to go make the world a godly place. It's a mandate. And Rashi says it's Mechames Rishus. And the pshat of Torah has to fit with the drush, with the proverbial homilies of Torah. So how does that work? Either it's elective, not mandated, or it is mandated. The answer is that this fits perfectly with the concept of Vaidus Hashem. Why? This refers to the notion of conquering worldliness, materialism for the world in a way that you're making it a vessel for godliness. Through serving Hashem, not only by virtue of fulfilling the actual laws, halachas, the details of Torah mandates and requires you to do, but also the concept of chol ma'asecha, all of your things. Kol ma'asecha, in which includes in Yanei Rishus. There are things we do every day which are not actually spelled out in the rule book. And there has to be yiyu l'shem shamayim. That should be for the sake of heaven, as the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Avot. And as Shlomo HaMelech wisely observed in Proverbs, u'b'chol drochecha, in all of your ways, da'ehu, you should know him. So this could be ideas which are not actually mandated. It's not actually legislated. It doesn't actually say you shall or must do A, B, or C. But in general, your attitude has to be, I have to make this world a godly place. How will I make this world a godly place? By living a Torah life. By doing everything in a mindful way. So even in such a war, you're alei vecha. You have the home advantage. You are necessarily poised for victory. You're lemaila min ha'oyev. You're higher. You're not on an equal playing field. The mikivon shegam avidase binyani reshus. Because even when you're serving Hashem in areas which are not legislated, the Torah didn't tell you what to have for breakfast. The Torah didn't even tell you to have breakfast. The Torah tell you to take care of your body. Who says you have to eat breakfast? Maybe you don't. I don't know if you have to eat breakfast. But here's what I do know. If you eat breakfast, there's a Torah way to do it. It should be kosher. And instead of it swallowing you and conquering you, you should swallow and conquer it. Instead of it making you who you are and it defining you, you should take the food and define it. You show him who's boss. In other words, this is the language of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Melchemes HaRishus. That's what the Pasuk is talking about. The birur in Yanei Rishus, by utilizing worldly matters, which are elective things. Even so, this Melchemes is Alei Vecha. And when you go out to war, in such a way, when you go out with the certitude that I know I am going to succeed and prevail, so then the victory is not an ordinary victory. It's a unique kind of victory. What could be unique about the victory? What does it mean it's unique? Well, the Pasuk does continue. The Lord God delivers into your hands. Dehine yedua, behold, it is known, and there are many Maimarim that speak about this. Most famously, the Maimarim of the Mitla Rebbe, and Maimarim of the Rebbe Rashab, and the Friedrich Rebbe that speak about this. That nitzachin melchama, efcha sheyir bekame fan. That the notion of victory in war can come in many flavors. There are many dimensions of what's called nitzachin. Yesh nitzachin, there is a victory, the Mitla Rebbe says, that comes through tremendous toil, enormous amount of effort expended. That is to say, when a yid toils mightily with tremendous force, your work, as the proverbial scriptural expression speaks about the slaves in Egypt, you slave away at this. You have an Aveda which is proverbially called backbreaking. It doesn't have to be carried in your back, it's not the point. The point is it's so intense, it's so heavy, it literally pulls you apart. It's like you're spent. And now your days are born itself, and you get a victory. So you worked really hard, and you have what to show for it. That's one kind of victory. And then there's another kind of victory. There's an etzachan haba b'li yigia. There's an etzachan, a victory that comes without effort and toil. An oifen of the way we describe the concept of Shabbat, as the Mechilta says, that from the verbiage of the Torah, we can adduce that what should Shabbos look like? Shabbos should be the time where chol melachtecha asuya, all your work is done. The Mechilta says, all your work is done. Have you ever met a person in the world who has nothing on a to-do list? All their work is done? It's impossible. How could such a thing be? And the answer is, on Shabbos, all your work is done. On Shabbos, there are no to-do lists. On Shabbos, there is no outstanding items. Hainu. So here you are, you have this victory, and all your work is done. Dagam shenimtzu b'matzav of the milchama. You're at war now. But the Nitzachin is in a oifen of shalom. The Nitzachin is in a way of peace. It's bitl amenaget b'tachas hashleimus. The enemy simply capitulates. Ukenoida b'inyan padu b'shalom nafshe mikrovli. Like it's known on the commentaries on the Pasuk. In David HaMelech's 55th Psalm, where he speaks about Hashem redeeming his soul in peace from conflict. The afshar yomatzah shel krav. That even though it was a situation of combat, it was a milchama, it was mikrav, it was a conflict, a battle. Mikol makom, hapadiyah, the being taken out of that situation, the being redeemed from that situation, saved from that situation, which is the nitzachin essentially, which is the victory. It, from this krav, from this conflict, from this battle, it happened b'shalom. What does shalom mean? Shalom doesn't only mean peace, peace and quiet. Shalom also comes from the terminology of shleimut. And shleimut means wholesome perfection. Everything is whole. Nothing has been spent. Nothing is lost. There's an expression in English about a war in which you spent all your possessions, everything you own on the war, in prosecuting the war, in achieving victory. And in the end, you win, but you have nothing to show for it. Because you destroyed everything in your quest for victory. It's called a pyrrhic victory. Because Firis did battle and battle and battle, and in the end he had nothing left. He won the war, but he lost everything. So a person could spend everything on war. For sure, there's always a cost. There's no war. The most successful battle in the world didn't come without a cost. A terrible cost. A cost of young lives lost. A cost of people maimed. A cost of a society that's necessarily debauched by war. Because war has a negative impact on us. It's not a good thing to have weapons and violence around us. It can't be a good thing. And yet, the Torah says it's possible that there's a pada b'shalom, that you can emerge from the war entirely unscathed. The zeh winyan ha'nitzach, and this is the kind of war that comes b'li yegia. In a way, b'chol melachtecha asuya. Zeh sh'amar ha'kasav v'nasonei Hashem elokecha b'yadecha. This is the kind of war, my dear friends, we hope to have to, if we have to fight a war, this is the results. This is what we hope for. That it should be nasonei Hashem. The idea of the Yetziya L'Mochama, the going out to war is Kiddabai, the way it should be. What does it mean? How do you go out the way it should be? The right attitude. Aloi Vecha. I'm going out over my enemy. I know that I'm going on Hashem's mission. If I'm going on Hashem's mission, I have to be successful. I have the full confidence and the courage in my mission because it's Aloi Vecha. And then the Nitzachin, because you had the right attitude, you went out to war as you should. So then the attitude necessarily brings about the gift that comes from Hashem. Unusanai is using verbiage or a phrase which also indicates a gift, like the term matana. And a matana, we know kol hanoisin ba'ayin yofanoisin. When somebody gives a gift, they give it in a generous way. Gifts and generosity are like French fries and ketchup. They just go together. It's like a cheap gift. What does that mean? You wanted to give a gift, you give a gift. You don't want to give a gift, you don't give a gift. If you have a business deal, if you have a transaction, you get what you pay for, they say. And if you bought a Rolex for $50, I guarantee you, it's too good to be true. You got what you paid for. It's not possible. But what if somebody gave you a gift of a Rolex? Well, that's another story. What'd you pay for it? You didn't pay for it. It's a gift. So gifts are necessarily contingent on generosity. And here Hashem says, Unasani Hashem Alikecha, like the Gemara says, Hanoisin, the one who gives, not the one who sells, the one who gives, b'ayin yofer. In other words, that the Nitzachin, that the victory comes in a manner of giving. And let's finish off at least this first part of the Maimer. Af sheshleimus hanitzachin, even though the perfection of this war comes through a hamshacha, literally something which is given, a transmission from a higher place. It's in the scene, it's a gift. But nonetheless, the kavana is that the world should change. And the world should change means that you have to struggle. You have to deal with situations. You cannot ignore the situation. The victor who will dictate the future, because the victor, history is made victors. The victor will dictate how things will unfold going forward. The victor has to actually assert full control, or else he's not a victor. But if you're really a victor, if you really control the situation, so then it has to be ba'alusa, it has to be on your possession. It has to be knuyin loy, it has to be acquired to you. In other words, that in yonei olam, that matters of worldliness should be acquired to us. We should be in control of the situation. Not that worldliness or materialism should control us, but instead, we should control it. And that's any maspik on a sinas kerech umayel. Therefore, it's not just enough for you to get it, but a person has to also work on his own. You need to expend effort. It can't simply be a gift that falls into your lap. Because only when you make the effort is that which is conquered fully under your control. That when it comes to the spoils of war, they actually have to be acquired. Even if the enemy up and left, simply surrendered, they fled, and he left everything behind, you still have to acquire the objects. You have to still make it yours. And this is the idea of Mashakasa v'nusani Hashem alekecha. God gives it into your hands, and then v'shavisa shivyi. Then you go forward and you'll make the captive. In other words, that you have to take that which was always destined to be yours. What's that talking about? The world is ours. Materialism is ours. The world was created by Hashem for a reason. And for a temporary amount of time, it was allowed to be captured by the dark side. Our job is redeem it, release it, bring it home. And even if the victory comes relatively easily, without effort, without spending enormous amounts, nonetheless, you still have to make it yours. And this is the story of our life. This is the story of our life. I'll tell you, I'll finish with an interesting little vignette I heard. So the Rebbe, the Bachram, noticed that the Rebbe wasn't eating with a knife on Pesach at the meal. He's only eating with his fork. He was like cutting things with his fork and eating with his fork. So he turned around. Somebody either asked him about it or he commented. He said that my father, the Rebbe's father, he said, didn't eat with a knife all whole year. So that Erev Yom Kippur, he would eat with a fork and a knife, and this way he was eating with both hands, because Erev Yom Kippur is a mitzvah to eat. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to eat with both hands. He didn't want to use his hands. So he used a knife once a year. But the Rebbe turned around to the Bacharim and he said, Irzilt yad nutzen ha-meser. You should use a knife. Why? The Rebbe said, I have to do because kibud aveim. I have to do what my father did. So I'm bound by the bond of respect to my father. I follow what my father did. But you should eat with a knife. Why? Because it says, Nahama, your bread, apum charba lechel. You eat it by the sword. And the knife is symbolic of that, of cutting the bread. And the point is this. Meal times is a battle. Will the meal control you, or will you control the meal? Will you become totally overwhelmed by the food you're eating, and the lust and the cravings and desire you have for food, and lose yourself altogether? Or will you be in control and utilize the food for a holy and a sacred purpose? To eat healthy, mindfully, purposefully, and utilize that meal for a good thing. Eat courteously, respectfully. How will it go? That's a battle. That's one of so many battles. It's an easy battle to depict, because most people go crazy about food, and you need food, and you can elevate the food fairly easily, as long as you're mindful about it and doing it for the right reason. So here we have an example of how everything is a conflict and a battle, and as long as we make things ours, we can transform the world one meal at a time, one endeavor at a time, one encounter at a time. And in Meretz Hashem, by doing this, we'll be zeicha to see the coming of Mashiach in a world that is healed and whole, as it's all brought into the scrimmage of holiness. B'mheira ubi ameinu amen. Thank you all for joining us all week long. And may we have a wonderful Shabbos that culminates in the cosmic Shabbos in Yerushalayim, in our Kodesh, in the third base of Migdash. B'mheira ubi ameinu amen.
Amen.